Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
51, the 51st state. Did you ever see that film?
No. Is it about Puerto Rico?
No, it's not really about anything. From what I can remember, Samuel L. Jackson is wearing a kilt for the whole film. And he's hanging out with...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This sounds like a fever dream.
Yeah. And he's in the UK, Samuel L. Jackson.
No, you've imagined this.
To try and find some gold or some loot, stolen money? No, it's never referenced.
It sounds like The Last King of Scotland, what you're talking about.
No, it's never referenced. And he's hanging out with he's like a famous Scouse actor who I can never remember, but he's like one of those like top of the British actors thing.
Oh, a character actor, like a Toby Jones or a...
Less...
Too ugly to be famous, but too good not to be put in movies.
less specifically a character actor than that, but by American standards, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's a point where he goes to a pub and lets off a flare and shouts the word Liverpool a bunch of times. It's kind of like a
guy... Samuel L. Jackson does?
No, the Scouse guy.
Liverpool, motherfucker!
Yeah, while Samuel L. Jackson is in the car going like, what is that crazy white guy up to or whatever, ha ha ha, that everyone loves so much.
You will never motherfucking walk motherfucking alone!
Don't buy the motherfucking sun! Yeah. And all I can remember is Samuel Jackson doing a rant at some point, or maybe it was a villain about how the UK is just the 51st state.
The first state, you mean?
Yeah, well, there you go.
More light.
Anyway.
Episode 51, or as I call it, episode nifty fun.
Oh.
I think it's going to be nifty and fun this episode.
I think you're absolutely right.
Second half of the century. A new dawn, a new beginning.
Yes, that's right. We're over the half century mark. How are we going to feel more futuristic? Should we wear clothes made of foil for no reason?
Let's put this episode on the internet.
Oh, risky. Risky.
As bleep, far as bloop, bleep, bleep, bloop. That's what it's going to sound like.
Let's put some of these ideas on the World Wide Web. Anyone can surf onto our website and look at our ideas after they've downloaded the text.
Are you ready to take your car onto the information superhighway?
We're going to make a turn off at the AOL homepage. God, imagine if early internet, if you knew the amount about the internet that a 14-year-old knows now, in 1991, you'd be like the third best computer hacker.
Yes, yeah. It's crackers.
It is crackers.
I can't think of a technology that has accelerated with that much pace in that short amount of time.
I once met someone who thought that that was proof that they were aliens at Roswell.
The internet?
The pace of technology advancing.
Right, okay.
Because they were like, well, you know, microchips... you know, this or whatever, like technology, like every new phone is like 100 times better than the old phone. How do you explain that? It's because they're drip feeding us alien tech. But they can't give it to us all from the 50s when Roswell happened because it would have blown our minds.
Right.
So they're like drip feeding it to us. And I was like, first of all, I don't think they would drip feed it to us. They don't drip feed anything else.
That's true.
They just hand out OxyContin and heroin like it's fucking Sweeties. And they go, oh, well, everyone's dead now. Like, they're clearly not that bothered.
The fundamental argument you can use to defuse any conspiracy theory is that every conspiracy theory requires an amount of coordination and competence that people just simply are not capable of.
No. And then I said, well, I don't think that's quite true. And she was like, well, what's your explanation for how fast all the tech's improving? And I said, well, the miniaturization of processing technology means that they've actually got a graph of it. It increases exponentially.
It's a law. What's law?
Yeah, someone's it's that law.
And it's not Murphy's law.
It increases like exponentially as in like a one across four up kind of graph ratio.
Yeah, is it something like every 6 months, every year?
It should double every 2 years.
Speed doubles or size halves.
Yes. Yeah. And so it's mostly been obeyed.
Yeah.
And whenever there's been a dip or it hasn't been obeyed, it's been followed by a big spike, which compensates for that.
Right.
So there's like a little delay and then boom, we have another piece of tech. And that's just a law of like, yeah, miniaturization and silicon technology and all this kind of stuff.
But there must be some...
And she was like, oh, well. Well, it's that or aliens, and I know which one I prefer.
Well, yeah, it's our classic defense of everything. Well, anything is explainable with facts. Yeah. Well, aren't you clever with your facts?
Oh, someone's gone and looked it up instead of just assuming aliens are involved.
It's almost like they resent your lack of faith. It's a religious. It's a kind of religious.
It's religious, but it's with them as the prophet. I've just told you the good news. And how dare you not just believe and trust me and how obviously smart I am that this is aliens.
Yeah.
And there's always people who... That's why the whole thing about sheeple, that's where that comes from. It's always like, I may work in McDonald's and be unable to wash or clean myself because I'm so obsessed with staying up late and eating Doritos and drinking Mountain Dew, but at least I know the truth. Mm. It's like compensation, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like not like these sheeple out there.
It's not just compensation, but it's validation. It's a way to validate your lack of involvement in society. If you devalue society and try and pitch it as a one big lie, then suddenly your lack of involvement is the right thing to do.
And your lack of power.
Mm.
It's the ultimate version of saying, I know something you don't know. But now you're saying it to like a load of like doctors and scientists.
Mm.
Yeah. Phil is shaking his head and going, in a way that I know you do when you're picturing the life of the person I've described.
Yeah.
And it's making you really sad and like horrified.
Well, yeah. I think mainly because I think I so easily could have gone down that.
There, but for the grace of God.
That's what I think every time I look at an incel or a conspiracy theorist or like a m'lady.
Yeah, a white knight or whatever.
Yeah,
m'lady.
Yeah, I was definitely a bit of a m'lady when I was like 13, 14.
Within a whisker.
Like so close. Within a shitty moustache's hair. It's breath. To going down that path. I got so lucky. Comedy, I think if it weren't for stand-up.
Dude, comedy saved us both.
Saved my life.
Comedy is like, comedy's so dangerous, but it's like, you know, when someone gets into a bad car crash, so they freeze them into a hypothermia coma.
Yeah.
To stop the inflammation hurting them more.
Okay.
That's what comedy is for us.
Well,
being in a coma due to hypothermia is not good for you inherently, but given what was already wrong with us, it was actually the perfect thing to happen. My younger sister actually told me, because we talked about this before, there but for the grace of God go I. And my younger sister said, I just heard you guys talking about that, and that's absolutely exactly the same for me, bang on, except for like crystals and potions and...
Right, and witches and...
Yeah, being a Wiccan. She was like,
astrology.
Like, every time I see like a Wiccan lady, white lady with dreadlocks selling potions from a van, I think, God, ooh. Because my sister was saying she just loved the idea that anyone could go into like the woods and concoct like medicine for themselves and have that power or that the universe was full of energy and the energy could be harnessed and reordered through these like ancient rocks. And as an idea, it's great.
I think kids are quite unnaturally into alchemy. I swear to God, when I was a kid, I just walk into the garden and see, what can I make out of this twig and poo? Something must...
I used to make potions from, I get shampoo and toothpaste and some old tea from a mug. And I'd like mix them up and I'd keep them in like old shampoo bottles. And I'd be like, that's my potion.
Oh, yeah. I should do that shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I was obsessed with George's Marvelous Medicine.
What is that?
The Charles Dickens, the Roald Dahl book.
Okay.
And a little boy called George makes a marvelous medicine that like makes his grandma into like a super lady.
Oh
and
God, I did that exact same thing. I mix shampoos and soaps into a little bottle.
Yeah. And my mum couldn't throw the potions away until I forgot, and then she'd throw them away, and I wouldn't remember.
Yeah, you ever mix Coke and like Sprite and think you're coming up with an amazing third drink?
Oh yeah. Like no one has ever. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, potions and lotions and like figuring out like maybe this plant is good for healing.
Right, yes.
Like from cartoons.
That. Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Do you think it's a human instinct, like foraging and learning?
Oh, it must be. I mean, I guess it got us pretty far, really. Also killed a whole bunch of people who ate the wrong berries.
Yeah, that's right. Or at the very least, they nibbled it and they got sick enough that everyone was like, all right, it's probably bad. Yeah. I think it's an instinct. Maybe it's one of those evolutionary instincts. People are curious cats. But that was my sister was saying, yeah, she was a witch's wig hair away from becoming a woo-woo lady. Working at Wang's Crystal Warehouse.
No, what was it? Chung Fu.
Chung Fu. Chung Fu.
Chung Fu.
Oh, that was the spirit that was in this like chubby white guy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, Chung Fu picks the crystals. I'm just the conduit for this unaccountably Asian.
I'm the conduit
man.
And accountant. I'm just the treasurer.
Yeah. I'd love it if it turned out that Chung Fu's spirit was like he was an accountant who died of a stress related heart attack in about 1988. Just like a Hong Kong businessman. He wasn't ancient or anything. Actually, that's a good idea. Like, you know, we're still behind with the correspondence, but why not, if you're listening, send us in your there but for the grace of God go eyes.
Yes, yeah. The times when you've seen someone who is, in your mind, not someone you would ever want to be, but you know you could have been.
Yeah.
Existential close shaves, yes. Lifestyle close shaves. Times when you've picked a path down a junction?
Yeah, path.
What was a junction with two?
T-junction?
A T-junction in the woods.
A split?
What's it called when it happens in nature? Because it's more like a Y-junction in nature.
Ooh, a branching off?
How does the poem go? The road less traveled by. How does
true.
You get up to
by
it?
By Robert Thingy. Robert Frost.
Yes. I came up to a T-junction.
The road not taken. That's what it is. Two roads diverged in
a word. When you come across a divergence.
Yes. And you can look down one path and see a guy getting really angry at a Warhammer convention. I still, every time I walk past a Warhammer shop, they've renamed them. They used to be called Games Workshop, so now they just call them Warhammer.
Are they not called Games Workshops anymore?
The sign just says Warhammer.
Yeah.
Every time I walk past one, it's like a very, very weak version, obviously, of when like an alcoholic walks past an off license. I can feel the pull of it.
Really?
Yeah.
You used to do that. You used to paint them. And
I never played the game because I couldn't find anyone to do that with, and it was very complicated. And it was like a combination
of... That makes it just even sadder.
It does, yeah, because it's a combination of first make a friend.
Yeah.
And then B, convince that friend to engage in this overwhelmingly complex and expensive and time-consuming hobby with you.
Plus, also, you were so into this and so determined to take this on as a hobby that you didn't even think to check there would be anyone to play it with.
Yeah. I was so much like overly focused on that painting on my own in absolute silence bit of it and getting really good at like, now it looks like his armor is shiny. Like the most pathetic skills. But like any of that stuff, Airfix models, anything like that, I have to stop myself from just buying armfuls of them.
Sure.
You'd be like, well, that's a submarine Spitfire Mark IV. It's not dribbling and foaming.
Did your parents ever like come into your room as you're painting and go, do you want to take a break from that? Or did they ever express any disappointment that you were... Pardon me. Because I swear to God, I was one time at a Batmobile, and I felt my father's shoulders sort of drop in a kind of defeated disappointment.
My dad liked models and army stuff, so I think he was all right with it. He liked little figurines and things like painting and building them. Because every generation of my family has had a childhood from about 30 years before it should have been, like more old fashioned.
Okay.
So, like, my parents didn't grow up with television.
What a horrible...
At all.
Terrible.
Yeah. So, that kind of thing. So, he was fine with it, I think. I think the amount I played Age of Empires 2 might have been a concern.
Yeah.
But they used to just joke about how they would hear, like, the trumpet sound just echoing down the corridor or the house. That, like, like just at the end of the corridor of bedrooms. They just have, you know, it's like, ding, ding, ding. The king is under attack. Well, yeah, but just video game noises. And they're like, oh, he's learning history again.
Hey, this will excite you. After my Leicester show recently,
yes,
I met and very briefly hung out with a guy who's going off to Canada in a bit to work on Age of Empires 4.
It's coming out.
Yeah.
It's on Steam. I've seen the previews. I've seen the videos.
It's a different developer.
Oh, it looks good.
Does it? I'm not seeing
it. Oh, it looks nice. I can feel myself the way a cowboy would reach for his revolver very slowly.
Oh, yeah.
Just reaching for my wallet.
Right.
Whenever I see the fingers,
your fingers sort of waving.
Just running the fingertip along the numbers of my bank card. oh, mate. Shout out to John, the pod bud, who was my tech at the Leicester Comedy Festival work in progress I did.
Oh, nice one.
Hello, John.
Gosh, how... What a dream come true.
And the pod bud who said hello to me at the 99 Club.
Wow, the pod buds everywhere.
We're popping up.
I met a pod bud in Syston, which is a small town near Leicester.
In Syston?
I insisted that he was there, because he was.
That's great. We're everywhere. We're becoming like a more poopy version of the weird cult from Fight Club. Where everyone has to wear black jumpers and black trousers.
Yeah.
Everyone just coming up to each other saying, his name was Robert Paulson, or whatever their little password is.
Oh, yeah, who was Robert Paulson?
It's Meatloaf's character.
He gets killed.
He sure does, with his big fat tits.
Yeah, that's Meatloaf.
That's Meatloaf.
Wow.
How weird is that?
Wow.
Yeah, and the twist, that's the twist at the end, is that it was Meatloaf the whole time. That's the famous twist in Fight Club.
It was Meatloaf the whole time. Yeah. Brad Pitt was actually Meatloaf.
Brad Pitt was actually Meatloaf. And then they sing a duet.
He would do anything for Fight Club, but he won't do that.
Yeah.
That being talk about Fight Club.
He refuses to promote Fight Club. The Statue of Liberty is full of bees, from her big blue crown to her little blue knees. That's the buzzing sound that comes from old Liberty. New York City's full of bees, NYC's now spelt with a B, because of all the bees that live in she being the Statue of Liberty.
Would you ever join a fight club? I think you'd be right in a fight club.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Maybe. It would be like...
They do exist for real, right?
I once heard about a guy from my school who was like way older than me. Because my school was so small, it wasn't uncommon.
Was it a teacher?
Yeah, this guy. He seemed to feel like he was in charge of us. A very arrogant guy. Always very well dressed, like, but not in uniform. He's like, get over yourself, man. Just because you have a mustache and you're called Mr. Harrison.
You kept facing, sitting in the opposite direction, everyone?
Yeah, it was fucked up.
It's weird.
He kept writing on the wall.
And then changing his mind and rubbing it off.
He's like, make your mind up, man. We're just all waiting for the teacher to get here.
It's the most non-committal graffiti artist I've ever seen.
What a loser. Yeah. No, there was this guy, like, because my school was like 50 people a year.
Oh.
Yeah, really small. Yeah. You could always find out about, like, or like people would have older siblings because it's a small community. And,
community.
And you would always find out about people who are like 7 years older than you or whatever. Mm. You'd be hanging out chatting and someone would go, oh, do you remember Jim McGillicuddy? Oh, you know, he's gone to, you know, he's joined the Air Force or whatever. And you're like 12.
Yeah.
And you're talking about someone who's clearly like 21.
Mm.
But that's the level of intergenerational knowledge you can get.
Sure.
And I heard about this guy who had been at my school at some point who, the story was that he joined the Special Forces or the Paratroopers or something and was like just this maniac. And like all he ever did was like, he was in the army or the paratroopers or whatever it was, being a special forces fancy man. And he would like run around doing that stuff for the military. And then even in his holidays, he would like climb mountains and, you know, go on like dangerous expeditions. And one of the things he spent his holidays doing was apparently doing knife fighting in Libya. And this would have
like
been in
Indiana
the noughties.
Jones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or like in Rambo or Jason Bourne, but he's doing those underground fights to make money.
Right, okay.
But apparently, yeah, this is like Gaddafi's Libya, because I guess I'm being told this in like 2005.
Sure.
So this guy's, I don't know what you do. You fly to Tripoli and you search through all the little brochures by the hotel Ibis desk. Knife fighting.
Yeah, how do you find
aquarium? No. Excuse me. Yes, sir. You're the head concierge, right? Yes, yes, I am. What can I do for you? Is there any knife fighting in the local area? And yes, of course. And they do that thing where they take the map out and they start drawing it. So that's us here. And the knife fighting stadium is here. Now, it looks like this is the fastest way, but actually, you're so good here with the knife. Do you have your own knife, or would you like me to? I would love you to recommend me a knife shop. I couldn't fly out with my own knife. But apparently that's a thing I've heard. And that sounds like nonsense. But also, like you say, it must be real somewhere.
It was also before the time where you could verify anything.
Yes. So
maybe it probably was real.
Yeah.
Something like a knife-fighting club, that's got to be word of mouth. That's the only way you can find out about a knife-fighting club, surely.
That's the irony about don't talk about fight clubs. You think, well, this can, what possible way could...
But isn't the whole point of the rule, don't talk about fight club, is that it's to get people to talk about fight club?
I guess so, yeah. It's like...
Because he's not angry when more people turn up a fight club.
No, do you think that the power of the rule is that it preserves the feeling of specialness that everyone has? And right. As long as everyone feels like they're in a very special in-group and they're very lucky to actually to have snuck in, they'll be like infinitely more loyal and pliable. Whereas if you found a knife fighting club leaflet in your thing, you were like Domino's, Papa John's, knife club.
Yeah, exactly. Well, because
you'd be like, fuck these guys.
It's like a members club, like Soho House or something. The whole point is that not everyone can be there.
Yeah.
But the whole business model is that people are there.
Imagine if the whole world was a fight club, just constantly, hey, yeah, kapow, just every day like a Batman comic. Blammo, just.
You have to fight your way out of building.
Yeah, I don't think I'd do well in a fight club because I've had too many.
Every time you wake up in your apartment, you have got to fight your way down the staircase.
Every day is like one of those side-scrolling fighting
games.
Just to get to work. Just constant mashing of buttons. I've been concussed too many times. That's why I say that.
Oh, I've been thinking about concussions this week because I banged my head on something, and because a friend of mine got concussed really badly. And she's much better now, but I'm now terrified of getting concussed. And so now every time I whack my head on something, I go, oh my God, am I concussed? What are the symptoms of concussion? What are they? And I'm always thinking far too clearly for someone who's concussed.
Yes, yeah.
But I don't think I've ever been concussed. I think my head is so fucking hard.
Yeah.
I'm concussed. I'm concussion proof.
Yeah, I've been concussed.
I'm like a solid state hard drive.
Yeah,
you know you can't break it by shaking it.
Yeah, and you don't make any noise when you power up.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's nothing whirring inside. Whereas you, there's a big pink disc goes.
Yeah, exactly. You can hear it
every morning.
Or if someone says to me like, someone says to me, "Do you remember that time?" And you go, "I don't know."
Or if you look at something that has a lot of colours.
Yeah.
You look at a very colourful painting, you go, like air just comes out of your nose.
And people touch my head and they go, ooh, it's hot. Turn them away. Yeah, exactly. I've been concussed at least twice, three times.
Is it all from rugby?
Rugby, being smashed in the face and hitting my head on a door frame.
You were smashed in the face?
Yeah, then you remember.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
Yeah,
uni.
I got a little scar, yeah.
Were you, like, bottled or something?
So they jammed the bottle into my eye socket, yeah.
Ah!
But the bottle didn't break.
Why did they do this again? This was, like, first month of uni or something.
Yeah, right? Yeah. It was during a blackout in a basement nightclub, so there was no light. I'm not sure. But I remember, my memory cuts back in more clearly. I'm walking away from the dance floor where it happened.
Yeah.
And I'm saying to my friend, some guy just tried to hit me with a bottle. What an asshole. Like, I'm like laughing about it. And my friend isn't quite looking at me. And he's like, yeah. And turns to look at me and goes, oh, no. Because there's just blood just pouring from a cut. And then that guy ran away.
Why?
So, like, that guy ran out of the club and they couldn't figure out who it was.
But I'm trying to figure out them. I still don't understand the motivations of this guy.
Just pissed people at like 2 a.m. You bump into each other and they take it the wrong way and... I don't know.
But it was dark. How could he even tell who'd bumped into him? We just a thrash.
I don't know
if
the blackout lasted for like 20 minutes, but I don't know if it happened exactly. I don't know. Piss people, man.
So now you've seen Pierre live, you'll know that he has a sort of Harry Potter scar down between.
Well, everyone just thinks it's a wrinkle line.
Right.
Because it's exactly in between my eyebrows, where a frowning eyebrow would make that little line above your nose.
Yeah.
So it's an incredibly well-placed.
I mean, for a glass bottle to the eye, you've come out relatively well.
Yes, but I was concussed for 2 weeks. I couldn't read or focus on letters or write. It makes you very paranoid and it can make you very angry. Anger is a symptom of concussion as well.
Oh.
Or maybe you're just angry going, my head hurts! Terrible headaches. Gosh. Yeah.
Jesus. But my awareness of concussions is that you shouldn't sleep.
Yeah, I stayed awake for quite a while.
Why shouldn't you sleep?
It's not like... I think it's not that you shouldn't sleep. I think it's that you thinking like, oh, sure, I'm tired, is actually your brain like shutting down.
Yeah.
It's not actually that you want to go to sleep.
Right.
So it's just to make sure that people don't mistake that part of the concussion for, bedtime.
What, for being knocked out?
Yeah, or for your brain trying to shut down.
And then your brain's just dead?
It gets damaged somehow. It can get damaged, I think. You're supposed to just stay awake to try and, like... No, I think that's more like that, not like it's dangerous to be asleep. But it depends, yeah. I'm not sure.
I hate even the thought of it.
Yeah, because it's your brain, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's your squishy part.
It's my squishy computer. my squishy laptop.
It's my meat computer. I need it for meat calculations.
God, I hate it. I hate anything going wrong with the brain like that.
Your friend and mine, Kieran Boyd, excellent stand-up comedian who's going to be at the Soho Theatre soon, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Go see Kieran Boyd at the Soho Theatre. Kieran with a K. Boyd with a B-O-Y-D. He had to fast forward through our last episode where we were talking about veins and vulnerabilities of veins. And he was just like, no. He was just like, skip, can't cope with it. And he loves death metal and violence.
Of course.
But it's because it's abstract and you can't make out what they're saying.
Yeah.
But when it was just us calmly talking about veins, he was like, fuck this.
Really? The idea of...
He also had to fast forward through the episode where we talk about hemorrhoids, but that's because he was eating...
But those are also veins.
He was eating faux.
But hemorrhoids are also veins. That's why.
Oh, hey, I know.
So he's nothing if not consistent.
He's a vein phobe.
Yeah. In 2020, it's not okay to be a vein phobe.
Look, stop vein. Don't vein shame.
Some people have veins. Get over it. People who are into heavy metal, like really hardcore rock, they're always very sweet people, I find.
They're always the nicest, yeah. Absolutely. Apparently that carries through to the concerts themselves.
Right.
Apparently at the concerts, everyone's just like, hey, neighbor! And it's like a guy with a skull face and...
But then they also like go nuts and mosh and break each other's noses, don't they?
But it's like consensual.
Oh, really?
They're all just like, it's time, whoever wants to be in the pain pit, starting now.
Jeez.
And apparently, like, if someone trips over in the mosh pit and stuff, everyone's always like helping
them out.
Oh,
yeah, everyone stops, don't they? Yeah.
I'm sure there's an exception to this, like the Norwegian black metal guys who go around burning churches and actually murdering each other.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, they're really dark, yeah.
Gosh.
One of them, the lead singer, it's a really famous photo. The lead singer blew his own head off with a shotgun.
Yeah.
And killed himself.
Well, there's a photo of it.
The bandmate, who he lived with, came home and saw the crime scene of him having blown his head all over the room. And was like, ha ha ha, and just like took a photo. And like took a bunch of photos of it and like was not interested particularly in calling the authorities. And
wow.
Then the photo he took was the cover of their next album with a new lead singer.
Really?
Yeah, these people are sick in the head.
Oh my God.
But those are like the extreme end of it. Whereas,
is it with the Scandies and being fucked up?
Yeah, but in such a Scandinavian way.
Is it just a Viking thing? Is it just like a leftover Viking, like,
maybe.
Sometimes people die. Men are supposed to be killed.
That everyone's job is to die.
Yeah.
I was trying to do some stand-up about that the other day. Is that a good observation where I was saying, like, all of men's role models, their job is to either die or make everyone else die?
Yes.
It's just death, just meat.
Yes.
Your job is to always be like as much of a big meat piece as you can.
I think it's because men actually have a very mature relationship with mortality.
You think so?
Yeah, unlike all these childish, pacifistic women everywhere.
Who want people to not die and to be alive.
Like there's space. Get a grip, Kathy.
Get a grip. We're all going to just shoot each other in a big circle. And whoever wins gets to... and wear a leather jacket. The male mindset. Yeah. Everyone's just, it's all just about dying and being meat and jumping in front of bullets and things.
Yeah.
And like you're in the movie, your best friend's job is to die and your job is to not be so upset about his death that you don't make other people dead.
That's true.
Dead. Meat.
Yeah. That's Saving Private Ryan. A bunch of people have to go make a lot of people dead so they make one person not dead.
Yeah. You can summarize
it's
a lot
okay
of films.
It's okay if they're dead also.
Yeah, it's okay if they're dead.
Greetings, humans. You have successfully captured one of us, i.e. me. Well done. In order to secure my release, the Council of has agreed to bestow upon you several gifts of science and technology, which your race could benefit from greatly, and with which our race has bored of tirelessly. I show you the Sega Mega Drive. This is an entertainment system that began on our planet as a device for colonoscopy. It has moved on somewhat from there, and its original purpose has been lost. But you can use it to play as a blue hedgehog that collects rings for no discernible purpose. Release this in around the 90s. We also have to give to you, human race, the light up sneaker. These are, you call them shoes, we call them Michelangelo. And they light up to notify the nearby organisms of your age. We also, finally, because we only have three things, finally, this is a mobile phone. Do not use this device. This device has destroyed our planet. It has turned us all into slugs and worms. It is the reason I was foolish enough to stumble across your horrible planet and be captured. I was too busy looking at a meme about the space poodles. Do not use this. Destroy it. Destroy me. Forget you ever heard about mobile phones.
Since the Johnson government came in, I've really detached from daily politics. Because it used to be like, there's all to play for and no one knows what's happening.
Sure.
The government doesn't even really exist. A man has proposed a members bill. And if it's passed with three crows before the stroke of Blimnight.
Right, yeah.
And
but now,
like,
now everything's a fait accompli.
Now everything is we're going to do this. Well, we don't like that. And before you can even finish saying that, they just go, fuck you.
Yeah.
And they smush their thumb right into your eye. And you just have to take it.
I have fantasized for a while of us becoming more like a Xi Jinping society.
Yes.
And with a mandate this size, we effectively, with a mandate for Boris Johnson's Conservative Party this size, we effectively have
The British government is designed to do that every time there is an election. It is designed to, the Prime Minister proportionately in the system is so overwhelmingly powerful. He's much more powerful than the US President within the system. The US President can't declare war. The Prime Minister can do whatever the fuck he wants. Or she.
It's kind of hot.
Yeah, it is kind of hot. So actually now, we're just so used to having poopy half-government.
Yeah.
That this is the first time that it's like, oh no. This is the first big majority since 2005.
Of course, yeah.
Which is a mad thing to think. And God knows what that fucking lunatic scarecrow is going to do with it.
I don't think he is a lunatic. I think he's just psychopathic.
Yeah, that's true. He's not inconsistent.
Donald Trump is a lunatic. He's probably senile.
Yeah, he does. Joe Biden and Donald Trump are both just sort of going, and then I had a hamburger, and then I had, like, it's very worrying.
Yeah, they're senile. That's what it is.
Is this what late Roman Empire was
like? He's
not
as stupid as he is just plain old senile.
It's like George III.
Yeah.
You've gone mad from syphilis, and now you're just rambling on about this and that.
Whereas Boris Johnson is just an evil little bastard.
Yeah. Yes. He's
And I think I'd rather.
He's Flashman.
I'd rather an evil little bastard than a senile. old man.
Yes, probably. Yes, because I've seen how old man could just be controlled by an evil bastard anyway.
Mm.
Who are you looking forward to losing against Donald Trump? When he is inevitably reelected?
Well, I think if Trump does win, and he looks like it probably almost certainly will.
Yeah.
I think I heard you say the other day, no sitting president.
Since 39, I think.
Yeah.
No sitting president has lost with unemployment below 7%. So if unemployment gets around 7% or above, everyone's so dissatisfied with the economy that they get rid of whoever's in there. But if it's not, then you've never gotten rid of him.
Yeah, essentially the economy is doing too well.
Yeah.
And I think he played a blinder, intentionally or not, with Iran.
Yeah, he was just like, I'm going to blow up your favorite guy.
And you can't do anything about it. I mean, if I'm a nationalistic American, that was the best thing that's happened in the last 5 years.
There was a really long, sort of complex, well-informed article I read about it where it was like someone was just saying, look, he's reset it. The whole point of American power for the last 20 years was that they didn't use it, but that they might. But this lunatic stormed into the room and just put a gun to the guy's head and blown him away. And everyone's gone, Jesus Christ!
It's
the difference between a mafia boss going, yeah, you might find you have some business problems over the next few months if you don't sign this contract. And a mafia boss just killing everyone in front of you and going, you want to die?
Yeah, he basically, end of The Godfather 1, did everyone. in the Middle East.
Yeah, he did.
He did the end of The Godfather 1.
He did the end of The Godfather 1.
Or is he just Godfather?
Or whatever.
The Godfather?
Yeah, whatever. But the point is, he did it with a mouthful of hamburger, half paying attention.
Yeah.
He's the most pathetic figure. He cuts.
He sounds like in those moments, he's a bit of an idiot savant.
Yeah, he's like...
He's an idiot savant when he's up against other nutters.
Yes, it's like if you were playing chess, but a version of chess where it's not against the rules to just slap the board into the air.
Or to push one of the pawns into your opponent's eyes.
Yeah, and everyone's gone, oh, he's the first player in this tournament for a long time who's had the viciousness to just do that. It's convention that we try not to push pawns into the eyes.
Yeah.
But it is technically within the rules.
Yeah.
It's that.
So Trump has to win, I want Bernie Sanders to win the Democratic race and then lose so that they can finally put that argument to rest that Bernie Sanders would have won in 2016.
You mean that like Bernie Twitter and all the rest of it can finally shut itself down?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this...
Do you think it would shut down though? Because even Corbyn Twitter isn't fully dead. It's pretty much dead, but there's still like a hard 0.1% of people saying, oh... It still would have worked or whatever. Because the argument was, if the manifesto was radical enough, everyone would just vote for it.
Yeah.
And they made the most radical manifesto possibly ever. And everyone went, what?
You know what the remaining Corbyn campaigners on Twitter remind me of is like in Rome Total War, when you fight the barbarians and you defeat them. And then they all escape. They decide to run off the map.
Yeah.
And... You try and get the rest of them, but there's always a couple who get off the map.
Yeah,
and then and then you finish the battle and you pull up and you see, there's still some more, and they kind of trickle away.
The one little army, and you know it's got like seven archers and a cavalryman.
Yeah, and you know, like, guys, you don't have to worry about that anymore. You're just annoyed that they're still running around. It's kind of like that. So yeah, I think for Bernie Sanders to lose would put a lot of what ifs to bed.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And look, you know.
I would kind of like Mike Bloomberg to go up against him just to watch billionaire versus billionaire.
Yeah.
I mean, billionaire versus fake billionaire.
Yeah, billionaire. Yeah.
10th richest man on earth versus some guy. A guy who's definitely in a lot of debt.
Yeah, versus a guy who is a kind of like crayon drawing of a billionaire.
Yeah.
From a satire. Yeah. It would just be good because then there'd be loads of chapters of history books entitled The Battle of the Billionaires.
Yes, please.
And what does The Battle of the Billionaires teach us about early 21st century American political decline? And we could all enjoy the essays thereof. Yeah, that would be good. Yeah, and I mean, have you seen Bloomberg's poll numbers? He's gone from like zero to third place just through the power of money.
Right. Is he not doing quite badly?
No. It's my point is the graph is like...
But that's only because he's only just started the race. So his people were, it was going to be at zero because he wasn't even in the race until.
Yeah, but the rate of climb. If you don't have $340 million to spend, which is how much he's spent.
Yeah, sure.
Bloomberg spent $340 million. And I saw someone saying, so if you had $500 in the whole world and you spent $2.50 on a metro ticket,
yeah,
you'd have spent more of your wealth proportionately than Bloomberg spending $350 million.
Mm.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, he's very rich.
Isn't that amazing? I just, oh.
Yeah, for that to be nothing.
Oh, man, I want that. But he can actually hire people who are, like, well, actually, to be fair, a lot of his billboards have been pathetic, but, like, with shitty insults on, like, bad jokes. He needs to hire some actual joke writers, because they're not funny.
Oh, no.
It's like, Donald Trump, you mean the bad hair guy? it's bad, yeah, it's bad.
Gosh.
Yeah, it's no good.
Who else?
Anyway. We're only discussing American politics precisely because British politics is so harrowingly locked down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's nothing so to play for at the moment.
Before the government illegally deports us both to Jamaica for no reason. For fuck's sake. They're really leaning into the cartoonishly evil version of what they could be.
Yeah. Yeah, Priti Patel is like... she's like a Disney villain.
She has a face and opinions born to just say something like, I think you'll find the Death Star quite operational.
I've never known anyone whose resting face is a smirk.
She's like a Death Eater. She's like a she's perfect to just be hovering just to the left of Voldemort's shoulder.
Yeah.
Take that, Potter. That's her whole vibe.
Yeah.
Did you think love would save you?
Yes. That's exactly the face.
That's the kind of thing she was born to say.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Ring
letters,
keep
emails,
phone
calls,
correspondence,
chatting,
correspondence, PlayStation,
correspondence. Hi, Peace, from Gina.
Oh, Gina. Which Gina?
Not the Gina we had on.
Oh, okay, not Gina Martin. I also have a cousin called Gina who got married.
I don't think it's her.
I don't think but it's we'll her. Find out. I don't think she listens to this podcast.
Hi, Peas. Big fan of the pod. After listening to Phil say he's sometimes compared to Sue Perkins, I saw this beautiful lady come up on a lesbian personals page I follow on Instagram.
Ooh.
The likeness is undeniable. Fwah! Keep jacking it, Gina.
What? Sue Perkins came up?
No. Someone who is a big likeness.
Someone who looks like Sue Perkins and who therefore looks like me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she's cute.
I could see it. Very similar glasses. Shall I say the name of the Instagram account?
Nah,
fuck him. Yeah, I could see that. Do you have any other doppelgangers? You've got, you used to do your Michael McIntyre bit.
Michael McIntyre, people used to say a lot. Not so much anymore since I lost weight.
Yeah.
Sue Perkins. Fred Armisen.
Yes.
I do look a good bit like Fred Armisen.
Yes, you
Fred Armisen actually
do.
Looks a lot more like my cousin Brian at home, who also doesn't listen to this podcast.
Really?
Yeah, he looks a lot like Brian. Actually...
Does Brian have enough stubble? Because Armisen's quite a stubbly stubbles.
Well, he's got that sort of old guy stubble now. When you know, right. Men reach like 50 and then suddenly like, I have white stubble now because I'm serious.
Yeah, I have white stubble now because I invented this entire simulation.
Yes. At one point, all men become the director in The Truman Show.
Yes. Yeah. All men become ready to spin around in a chair.
Or wear a turtleneck and like they live in a modern glass house on a lake.
Yes, 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 yes.
That's my dream. I'd love to live in a modern glass house on a lake.
With minimalist decor.
Have you seen Parasite?
No.
Oh, the house in Parasite is like the dream.
The perfect
turtleneck
house.
Oh.
Matt gets in touch.
Matt! How about that?
Gents, I have often felt this chilling tale needed a wider audience, but there was just never the appropriate forum until BudPod was born. And so for that, I thank you. I lived in the Netherlands for 3 months in 2001 during my studies.
Ooh.
As a spry young thing, I had many a giddy time. Often rolling in the early hours, a bit worse for wear. One morning after, I awoke with a hefty payload in the bomb bay.
Wow.
And blearily stumbled to the toilet to rain down hell.
Gosh, yeah.
Now, I'm not sure if you've encountered Dutch toilets.
Is that a Dutch toilet? Is that a toilet that you farted in?
It does sound like, you know when Americans are nicknamed Dutch?
Oh, yeah.
A new solo by Dutch Toilets.
Oh, no, another jazz. we've gone a few good few weeks without any jazz musician.
I've been writing jazz names down in my own free time, if you can believe
God,
it.
Oh, God, okay. Yes, I can believe it.
Yes, you can believe it. Dick Amulet. I think we've got
that sounds like a before. Detective.
Dick Amulet. Melbourne Breakwater. Ronald Lust.
Ronald Lust.
Minty Pints.
Minty Pints is good.
And Sassy Notion.
I like Minty Pints.
Minty Pints is good, isn't it? And on the drums, Minty Pints.
Yeah. Minty Pints. Also because the idea of a minty pint is horrible.
It is horrible, yeah.
But it's very... vivid.
I think it was because someone offered me a mint before we were going to the pub.
Mm.
I was like, well, I don't want minty pints. And I immediately took my phone out and wrote that down because I'm pathetic. Anyway, he says, I don't know if you've encountered Dutch toilets, but they sometimes have an inspection shelf where the Todd piles up before being washed away when you flush.
What?
German toilets are the same. There's almost like a kind of shelf that the poop lands on.
Oh, so kind of like a festival toilet.
Yeah, you can look at it, yeah.
Oh, so it's like, wait, so when it's heavy enough, then it just to save water?
Yeah, but also, like, the water will shoot it off this cliff edge into sort of back bit.
Okay.
So it's not like the whole thing's a bowl. It's, like, just the back bit's a bowl.
Right, okay.
Because it's, like, a cultural thing, I think, like, for health. Like, you need to see if your shit's okay.
Right, interesting.
It's a very German thing. The Dutch clearly do it as well.
That'd be very helpful, actually.
But this shelf makes the drop shorter. So the Todd piles up, but we're washed away when you flush. But this shelf makes the drop shorter than our British toilets. And the Titanic turd was coming out of me. Hit the shelf before it had left my startled hoop.
Startled hoop.
So what he's saying is, the poo is still mid-birth, but it's already encountering porcelain.
Yeah. Yeah, so you are connected to porcelain.
Yeah, it's like Adam and God on the, on the Sistine Chapel. being a bit hungover, this all hit me slower than it would have normally, and before I knew what was happening, the log snapped, fell forward, and kissed my nuts on the way down.
Like a training boxer.
Yeah. or just as it was falling. Just a little peck on the nutties.
That's very funny.
I can assure you there is nothing that will shake you from a boozy haze more quickly than a shit touching your sack. And fair enough. Feeling properly violated, wide-eyed with horror, I emptied myself as quickly as possible and then spent an overly long time in the shower cleaning myself in the hope that I might wash away the memory of this traumatic incident. 18 years on, maybe this public admission will be another step in the protracted healing process. Koji met.
What's important is that we're talking about it.
Look, we're not being shamed for
having the conversation.
We're not being shamed for long turds kissing our nuts on the way down.
Thank
anymore.
You, Matt, for sharing your truth.
And for sharing a truth that can only happen not only to men, but to men with long enough balls.
Long
and
balls
big enough
and long
poos.
Poos. Yeah. Yeah.
Big balls, big poos, big heart.
Thank you for sharing
for
your
sharing. Poof. Thank you for sharing your poof. Do you know how difficult it is if you're on a date and someone's like, what's your podcast about? And you go,
politics?
Yeah. It's just two guys, you know? It's fun. Don't listen to it.
It's about digestion.
It's about health. It's about solidarity. Caroline gets in touch.
Caroline, that's a fine.
Yep, it is a fine.
That's a fine. That's a fine.
That's a fine.
Dearest, that's a fine, eh?
That's a fine, mate. Dearest bod, Pud Bods, I have enjoyed your jovial repartee since day one of this excellent podcast, marinating my ears every week with side quests, tat attacks, and tales of people cacking themselves.
Marinating is horrible. Nice.
Founding Farter?
Founding Farter, of course.
Praise redacted, praise redacted. Thank you, thank you. I'm here to return the favor.
Ooh.
It's a long, but I hope worth it story, and I've yet to hear a story quite like this on Bud Pod. And I have every anticipation that its retelling, courtesy of Pierre's mellifluous tones, will delight your listeners, particularly the ladies, and absolutely appall Phil.
Ooh, I'm excited. I like to be appalled.
Yes. Prologue. Soiler alert.
Very good.
This is a true story. That's funny. This is a true story and contains graphic, harrowing descriptions of encopresis, which is a fancy medical term for the involuntary passing of stool into your clothing.
Wow.
Quite why the definition has to call out the word involuntary is baffling. Why in the name of fuck would anyone elect to shit their shorts?
I don't know. There's some fucked up people out there, man.
Yeah, just Google it. You'll see.
I kind of like doing it when I was a kid.
My point is made, and you are forewarned. Here is, did you like doing it as a kid?
I liked holding I liked holding my shit in when I was a kid.
Just for the feeling of power and control.
Yeah, just the sensation felt good.
Yeah,
you get that?
I understand it. Bum fun.
But now I was always like, yeah, I guess it was a kind of bum fun, and there was something exciting about being on the brink of shitting your pants. But
yeah,
but never coming. But I shat my pants all the time. Are you kidding?
Well, you were all playing Russian roulette.
Yeah,
you were playing Russian poulette.
Russian poulette. Flush and poulette now.
You know what? You lived by the sword, you died by the sword. I used to drive to work.
Oh no, what happened?
That's Caroline.
How bad was this poo?
I shat myself out of a commute.
I wrote my car's a write off because of what I did in there.
I used to drive to work. The morning was like any other. A cup of tea, a pre-drive pee, and my thoughts turning to the breakfast burrito that I would eat at my desk. Little did I know I wasn't going to get to my desk that day.
Wow.
5 minutes into my journey, I hit a traffic jam on a section of dual carriageway. Roadworks up ahead had snared the traffic up, and this was not unusual, so I settled back into my seat and began to puff on my vape. A treat I usually saved for mid-morning. Custard cream flavored. Not that it matters. I don't blame that noble biscuit for what happened next.
Noble biscuit.
For any smoker, ex-smoker, or vapist, you'll likely recognize the feeling. You ready your implement, you inhale, you look cool, and to hell with the long-term consequences. But as the delicious poison enters your body, it supercharges your colon.
It sure does. Coffee,
it sure
too.
Does. Yeah.
Coffee and a cigarette. Poo, poo,
coffee
poo.
And a cigarette. Poo, poo, poo. Lighting that cigarette is like lighting the fuse on a poo grenade. Had I considered this? Had I fuck? As I dressed that morning, I'd put the slight discomfort in my subnaval region down to new jeans. Tight jeans, the kind that made me feel sexy and taut from hip to heel like a vac-packed ham.
I like subnaval.
Mm. The garment plays a part in this anecdote that I've only just come to terms with. I knew I had to poo. But stuck in a jam, a blockage, the irony of which I was in no state to appreciate at the time. This could be in the New Yorker.
This is very good. This is like the Atlantic.
I'm sorry, did Ronan Farrow write this? Nose to tail with other drivers, I was trapped. The bubbling brown bisque inside me didn't care.
Bisque, yuck.
That is yuck. Suddenly, the queue of cars began to move. There was a roundabout up ahead that I could use to double back. The other side of the carriageway was clear. If I could make it to the other side, I had a chance of making it home in less than 5 minutes.
Gosh.
Could I hold it? I had to try. As my wheels inched forward, I could feel the movement moving relentlessly onward, like a procession of solemn monks robed in brown.
It's like chanting coming from your mouth.
Chanting to their dark lord, making their way towards the light. The race was on. By some divine grace, I made it to the roundabout, circumnavigating its sweet, sweet curve with the maniacal excitement of a woman who could smell the gleaming porcelain of sanctuary and release.
I'm imagining Jesse at the end of Breaking Bad.
Yeah, laughing
just
and crying.
Yeah.
Just yelling.
Because he's escaped, but he's so unhappy.
He can't believe he let it ruin him one more time, but now he's free. I don't need to tell you two learned fellows, Phil with your engineering degree and Pierre with your extensive knowledge of Anglo-Saxon, Norse and Celtic texts, that making this turn exerted additional force on my body.
Of course.
And when a system is stressed, something has to give.
Oh no.
My glee turned to terror. I whispered through gritted teeth, "No."
Did it come out the side of her?
The worst part wasn't feeling... The worst part wasn't feeling soft, hot, moist matter creeping into my cleft.
Cleft?
The worst part wasn't sensing it cup my cheeks like a filthy memory foam cushion. The worst part wasn't trying to focus on driving, ignoring the fact that I, in my late 20s, was shitting myself in the car minutes from home. No. The worst part was still to come. I still had every muscle of my lower body tensed, so contracted were they. I could feel my Judas of a sphincter twitching with fatigue. We women folk have more going on down there than just a Shawshank. There is another. Let it be known that the vagina...
There's a carry.
Yeah, there's a carry. Yeah. Let it be known that the vagina, the fun dungeon, is fucking great. But that morning I'd made a deal with the devil to seal my lady cavern shut forever. Never again to feel the caress of my or anyone else's touch. Have you ever squeezed a plastic bottle underwater? Release the pressure, and the pressure difference causes the water to rush into the neck of the bottle. You can see where this is going. Your listeners can see. There in the car, squeezing myself tight, I saw where it was going to. Oh, no. Lots of things have been in my vagina. As a teenager, I tried to fashion a dildo from talcum powder, water, glue, and a condom. Good thinking. Like plaster of Paris, talcum powder and glue.
Guys, like, it's like a...
A MacGyver.
Horny MacGyver.
Sexy
horny,
MacGyver.
Horny MacGyver. Ann Summers MacGyver.
Ann Summers MacGyver. They've married. It didn't work. Who knew that a decade later I'd be peeling myself off the driver's seat of the car, waddling up the stairs to my bathroom and stepping gingerly into the bath? I guess I never thought that last night's dinner would ever make it up there.
Oh my God.
God, it did. Oh. Freed a fetid fibrous mass from my gusset. Oh my God. Peeling its steaming remnants from the intricate topography of my nether regions and thighs. This is very New Yorker.
It's very good.
The jeans had done their job, forming a tight seal, but they had forced an extraordinarily sized stinky stalagmite right up inside my oven for lovin'.
And it is a stalagmite, you're correct.
Yeah, stalagmite is correct. Poo stalagmite. Stalag shite.
Stalag shite.
I was not then, nor am I now, a follower of Gwyneth Paltrow. She can take her goop and shove it. But what I wouldn't have given at that moment for a deep fanny cleanse. Fanny cleanse, of course. Was
yeah, I know. I knew I was going there. Old fanny cleanse, lovely pies.
Ah, oh, delicious. A fresh fanny cleanse. Apple pie.
Straight out of the oven. Cleanse out the oven.
You want your Aunt Bessie Yorkshire puddings and your Fanny Cleanse apple pie. That's a good Sunday. I bore down, forcing the mighty clay snake from twixt my beef curtains. This is disgusting.
Wow.
This is like something from Viz.
It is.
If we sent this to Viz, we get a publishing contract from them. My God. Staring in shock as it dropped into the bath.
Bloody
where it
hell.
Stood tall like a muddy monolith. My God.
Wow.
Solid poo.
God, and every time I think Caroline's run out of synonyms for a poo,
it's, you know,
she's putting us to shame.
The English language is so versatile.
It's beautiful.
And diverse.
It's beautiful.
This secondary secretion was sent the way of its sibling, into the shitting pot where it belonged. As I turned on the shower and began cleaning away layers of... Oh, God. I don't even know if I want to say that. Shall I say it? It's
say
disgusting.
It.
As I turned on the shower and began cleaning away layers of still recognizable vegetable matter.
Oh, my God. Matter is the worst bit.
Matter. That's like Whitnell and I. There's matter in the sink growing. Chickpea curry, tomato skins, flax seeds.
Oh,
yes, I'm that kind
no.
of millennial. See, that's the problem with having such a vegan diet, you know? Your shits become so powerful that they'll literally have sex with you. You'll do a shit and it'll be so powerful it'll fly into your vagina.
You can... There's such a thing as too regular.
Yes. Yes, too many poops. Spoil the broth.
God, man. I mean... I a lot of the time when people say I couldn't listen to that episode of Bud Pod because I was eating, I think, oh, grow up. This one I can understand.
This one, anyone listening who's had to stop, we understand.
Completely understand. I don't think I'll have dinner tonight.
We apologize, but only in the way that right-wing media pundits apologize. We apologize that you're upset.
Yeah, these are not our views.
No.
These are not our poos.
These are not our, like, all poos, not my own. I fantasized about lying back, gripping my ankles, and having an adult wipe me clean like a giant baby. How I wished for a powerful jet washer with a birthing bazooka attachment, a sandblaster for my meat taco. They're self-cleaning, these velveteen vaults of ours, but I was taking no chances, and fair enough, in my opinion. The entire cleanup process of myself, the bath, the car, and my clothes took most of the day, and a violent quantity of cleaning products. I called work, claiming to have an upset stomach. My boss said I sounded shaky and to take the day. I bet you did. He could never know. Traumatized, exhausted, ashamed, but empty and clean, I crawled into bed, wishing for oblivion. Taking a dump on the road in static traffic would, in retrospect, have been preferable. Epilogue. And she's then sick. S-I-C as in, like, she spelled it like log, as in poo.
Oh, ah, very good.
Very good. Prologue was as well. Sorry for not mentioning that earlier. There were no long-term ill effects from shitting into my vagina. Is sick. This an email from Jane Austen?
At the end of a movie, 6 years later.
Yeah. There were no long-term ill effects from shitting into my vagina. I feared having to relate the story to a medical professional. I feared that I'd start producing green ooze from my bearded clam. Jesus Christ, madam.
Bearded clam? God's sake. I'm starting to get grossed out now.
But I'm happy to report that everything is in fine working order. I have never told anyone. Since then, only the finest latex sex toys, a monthly moon cup, and the delightful deli meat of my partner, extra spicy, and my own digits are allowed up there.
God's sake!
If your partner's deli meat is spicy, consult a medical professional, I'd say. Ladies, don't shit where you eat or ever where you're likely to be eaten. For the love of God.
Very good.
Very good.
That's very good.
It's good. It's horrible.
Don't shit
it's
where you eat or where you're likely to be eaten.
For the love of God, keep jacking it. Yours, clean, uninfected, and now unburdened. Shriven, I'd say, in my opinion. Caroline.
I've got to give it up to that.
Yeah.
That's one of the best ones we've ever gone.
Well done.
That's superb writing.
Very, very good.
Very good.
I would say it's appropriate for me to tweet this out as the worst poo story. Or most vivid. The best poo story title still kind of belongs to Fern.
Because the most devastating?
The most devastating, yeah.
Although it was, she wasn't... No one was aware. It's the most privately devastating.
Yes, yes, poo story. Yes. Privately devastating is good.
Yeah.
Shitting yourself so that a poo dick goes into your vagina in your car is. If someone said to you, "Go and shit into your own vagina," you'd be like, "That's an elaborate way of saying fuck off." And who knew it was possible? Astonishing.
It's a horrible story, beautifully told.
Yeah.
If only there was such a publication as the Poo Yorker, this would this would be the editor's pick without a doubt.
Yeah, the Shatlantic. Yeah. This would be the cover. This would be the cover.
Yeah.
And people would be like, it would be like when the New Yorker, I think it was the New Yorker, published Cat Story.
Oh,
Cat
yes.
Lover,
yeah,
whatever
yeah.
it was called.
Cat Lady?
Cat Lady, was that it? Something like that. You know the one I mean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, my word. Well done, Caroline. Thank you for that. Yes, we should get Fern to listen to it and she can decide.
Right, yes.
Because she shat her own bra off.
That is true. That is true.
And up a wall. And off a toilet. Like,
and
like
helicoptered it around the
like
room.
A rocket. So, you know, the crown is hers.
But that is superb.
This is like the Tyson Fury of challenges to this belt. This poopy belt.
Yeah, really superb. Really, I'm knocked for six. Well done, Caroline.
Well done. That was worth a slightly longer part. Well done, everyone. And God bless everyone out there and everyone at sea.
Yes. Keep on jacking it.
Keep on jacking it. Tune in next week. Make sure you buy tickets for my Soho run.
Yes.
19th to the 23rd of May, I think. Certainly at the end of May.
And also, if I
tickets
might
are going
say,
fast.
I was just on tour in Manchester, the Salford Lowry, which was superb. And I'm back there on the 14th of April in massive rooms. It's too big, I think. But please don't let me be too shamed. If you live in the Manchester area, come see me at the Salford Lowry on the 14th of April.
14th of April, Salford Lowry, Phil Wang. We got a tweet from someone saying, I'm so pleased. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
Because she was too ill to make the original one.
Oh,
so
great,
now she's
great,
coming
great.
To that one.
Perfect.
Salford Lowry, 14th of April.
That's it.
All right. And me, Soho Theatre in London, end of May. See you there, Podbuds.
Bye.
Bye.
Witness history at Roland Garros, where old rivalries meet new talent on the clay battleground. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled access as the world's top players in tennis face off to see if the veterans maintain their dominance or if a fresh face rises to challenge them. Daily live coverage of the French Open begins Monday, May 20th. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.